Hello and welcome to Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters examines the impacts we have on the environment and the natural world around us. Seeking solutions, reporting on news and events, presenting positive alternatives, and highlighting the steps others are taking to mitigate reckless and destructive development. This program aims to increase your ecological intelligence, to encourage you to think globally and act locally, and to inspire you to join the many others who are working to preserve and protect a healthy planet.
So if I wanted to do something around the water system in Haiti, it's not just enough that my Rotary Club in Madison wanted to do it. I have to find a partner club in Haiti. My district has to bless the project, and then we get money from Rotary International, and then we start the project, have check-ins and mileposts along the way. And some Rotarians serve in a cadre of technical advisors to make sure that the projects are well-conceived, implemented, and monitored and documented at the end.
Rotary is a global network of 1.2 million neighbors, friends, leaders, and problem solvers who see a world where people unite and take action to create lasting change across the globe, in our communities, and in ourselves. For more than 110 years, Rotary's People of Action have used their passion, energy, and intelligence to take action on sustainable projects. From literacy and peace to water and health, they are always working to better our world and stay committed to the end. Rotary members believe that they have a shared responsibility to take action on the world's most persistent issues. There are over 35,000 clubs working together to promote peace, fight disease, provide clean water, sanitation, and hygiene, save mothers and children, support education, and grow local economies. I spoke to Karen Kendrick-Hans, past chair of the Environmental Sustainability Rotary Action Group. Karen, how did SRAG start and by whom?
The relatively new member of my Rotary Club, I realized that given the quality of humanitarian organization Rotary is, that it might have a role in helping the world find climate change solutions. So I went searching on the web to see where the environmentalists were and where the environmental programs were within the Rotary world of 1.2 million members and 35,000 clubs. And I didn't find very much. I went to a district conference, raised my concerns, met the past president of the Rotary Club of Madison, Paul Riemann, and he and I began to work together to see what kind of space within Rotary we could create for environmental concerns generally, but specifically climate change.
Many of our listeners are familiar with Rotary, but how does SRAG fit in with Rotary's overall objectives?
Rotary International is a service club and began initially as a businessmen's networking group. In some parts of the world, it continues to be sort of the premier place that rising business people want to be because of its cachet in that world. Within the U.S., it tends to be more people of goodwill who are looking for volunteer opportunities and fellowship and a rigorous commitment to service. Within Rotary, much of the work is done bottom up from the 35,000 clubs through 600 some districts that are divided into 32 zones around the world because Rotary is in over 180 countries. And at the very top, we have a board of directors. Rotarian action groups are structured differently. They include Rotarians, not clubs, who have a keen interest in a certain subject matter area. And the Rotarian action groups form to focus service projects and expertise around those areas of concern. So there are about 29 of them a lot of them initially were doctors and dentists who would, well, we want to have a cleft palate clinic in a developing country. And so the rag structure allowed Rotarians from multiple clubs and districts around the world to get together and do that. There are a couple of really successful Rotarian action groups, the ones that focus on water, sanitation, and hygiene, wells, latrines, and hand washing stations, and soap. There is a successful Rotarian action group around peace and conflict resolution. And we're rather new to the game, but Rotary International has acknowledged the importance of our role to assist in the development of environmental projects.
Why is it that a business-oriented organization feels the need to be active on sustainability? Why not let governments do the work?
Well, at one level, Rotary is a business and networking organization. And in a big club like the one in Madison with over 500 members, you can do a lot of business connections at lunch. But one of our driving mottos is service above self. And there's a lot of work that needs done to make the world a better place that governments don't do. And Rotary has often worked alone at the beginning, didn't see itself as having any role of partnering with governments, but now realizes that in many situations it can be more effective to do that. A lot of times Rotary leads and the governments catch up. When I was in Buenos Aires, the concierge at our hotel was trying to help me find a Rotary club to it. And because Rotarians are supposed to go to a club every meeting, a meeting every week. Rotarians are supposed to attend a meeting every week. And I was looking for one in Buenos Aires. And the concierge spent quite a bit of time. He said, where I live at the outskirts, we have roads and we have water and we have sanitation because the Rotary clubs helped us with that. So in that part of the world, the Rotary clubs were ahead of their governments.
Can you give me an example of some of the other projects, roads and water, some of the other projects that Rotarians around the world are working on?
Sure. I think it would be helpful how Rotary structures its grant-making system, because every project needs to fall within those guidelines. So Rotary has six areas of focus, and if a club and a district get together and propose a project, in order to get the Rotary Foundation to help fund it as with matching grants, it has to fit in one of the six areas of focus, and they are peace and conflict resolution, water, sanitation, and hygiene, maternal and child development, disease prevention and treatment, basic education and literacy, and economic and community development. Those are the six areas of focus, and Rotary's projects fall under one of those. There is a Rotary Club in Queensland, Australia, that's working with Monash University to affect the mosquito population so that the mosquitoes don't transmit dengue and Zika. That's an example of a project. Lots of large city Rotary clubs in India are reaching into the less developed areas and creating toilet blocks, latrines, safe drinking water, and hand washing stations. It's an interesting link that when girls reach puberty, they have a difficult time in school because of lack of menstrual hygiene supplies and lack of safe places to deal with their toileting needs. The Rotary Club of Madison, Wisconsin has a menstrual hygiene management project in Ghana with the short-term gain of helping these girls manage a monthly need, but with the long-term gain of helping girls complete secondary school so that the girls have more choices, the age of first pregnancy is raised, the community benefits from the girls being more educated, their children have a higher survival rate, And all of those things go back to a girl needing a way to manage her period so she doesn't have to stay home 1 week a month.
And can you tell me the structure on the local level? Does a local Rotary Club have to be involved? And can the people from the community get involved or even suggest the project ideas?
Well, Rotary would like to be bigger than 1.2 million members. Mm-hmm. So for a community member who's on the outside looking in because they like what they see Rotarians doing, the first step is to ask to join. If you know somebody who's a Rotarian, tell them you want to join their club and they'll be thrilled to sponsor you. A lot of Rotary clubs work with NGOs, and if you have a connection with the NGO, Rotary is often a logical funding partner. It's also a visible project partner. We've just finished the year of having President Ian Risley, who's from Australia, as the president of Rotary International, and he made environmental sustainability the centerpiece of his year. And he asked every Rotarian through their club to see that one tree was planted for every member. And that led to the 1.2 million tree challenge, which we, as Rotarians, did, blew past without any problem. But a lot of local Rotary clubs teamed up with the local Audubon or the local Nature Conservancy chapter and the local Boy Scout troop. For instance, the state of Wisconsin DNR heard that it was the year of the tree planting in Rotary, and they developed a special fact sheet to help all the Rotary clubs make sure that they planted the right tree in the right time and the right place so that they would not only plant the tree, but that the tree would take root and flourish. Those are some examples of partnerships.
And again, a local Rotary club has to be involved?
Rotary International has one major signature project, and that is the eradication of polio worldwide. It began with a club in the Philippines in the mid-80s, and by 1988, Rotary International had joined up with the World Health Organization and made a decision that they would do something about the 350,000 cases of polio a year in 140 countries where polio was endemic in the late 80s. So Canada and the U.S. had eliminated polio, but it was continued to be a scourge around the rest of the world. And Rotary has poured its individual members and contributions given to the foundation. Rotary's put in, I think, over $2 billion since 1988. It hasn't been the only group contributing, but that's come individually from members to eradicate polio. And we are in 2018, it's endemic now in three countries. There have been fewer, I believe, than 25 cases, and we're more than halfway through the year. The challenge with eradicating polio completely is it has to be no cases and no trace of the wild polio virus in the environment for 3 years before you can declare it eradicated. One reason that Rotary is so strong in Texas is the polio virus is fecal-borne, and individuals who have no sign or symptoms of the disease can still carry the virus. Well, one of the disconcerting things is when you have jihadists traveling from the tribal regions of Pakistan or Afghanistan or parts of Nigeria to other places, they not only bring war and violence, they bring polio back. And so eradicating the last little bits is hard. Eradicating polio at the last convent in Atlanta, governments committed to $1.8 more billion dollars to finish the eradication job. And now one of Rotary's big partners is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, because they match every Rotary contribution 2-1. I talk about the polio eradication campaign because that is the only top-down signature campaign from Rotary International at the top. everything else in Rotary is bottom up. So a service project to build a well or put solar panels on a school or help a community start an aquaponics operation or a fruit orchard to have stuff to sell or getting women to sew menstrual hygiene pads, any of those projects come as an idea from a local club or district. They line up funding in their own club. They take it to the district level. The district has a pot of money from the foundation to match that. Then they go together, and if it's going to be a big project that they want Rotary Foundation money for, they have a global grant application process. They have to do a community assessment, and they have to find a local host partner Rotary Club. So if I wanted to do something around the water system in Haiti, it's not just enough that my Rotary Club in Madison wanted to do it. I have to find a partner club in Haiti. My district has to bless the project, and then we get money from Rotary International, and then we start the project, have check-ins and mileposts along the way. And some Rotarians serve in a cadre of technical advisors to make sure that the projects are well-conceived, implemented, and monitored and documented at the end. But most all of the service projects that Rotary takes on, and there are easily hundreds of thousands every year from Rotary clubs around the world, each of those starts as an idea at the local level.
All right. And trees is also an important project that's been taken on in several different areas. Can you tell me a little bit about the Haiti Reforestation Project?
So one of the things that Rotary International is doing is looking for the right fit with corporate partners. And there is a relationship at the high level of Rotary between Rotary and Timberland. Timberland, in its efforts to help with the reforestation in Haiti, has teamed up with the Small Farmers Alliance of Haiti, which the executive director is Hugh Locke. Hugh Locke has developed incentives for local Haitians to start tree nurseries and replant the devastated forests of Haiti as a way of creating a type of barter or tree currency that allows those same farmers then actuals, training, and seeds so that they can be more successful and profitable small farmers with their holdings. So in this point, reforesting the Haiti becomes not an end in itself, but for these farmers, a means to an end of prospering on their own plot of land. And that tree currency is an innovative model because it doesn't require cash payments. A lot of times, U.S. organizations will go into an area that needs reforestation, and they will pay the local people for their trees. And that model has had mixed success in Haiti. But creating an alternate route of incentives through this barter system has been extremely successful. And then the small farmers, with the support of the training and the seeds, are reintroducing organically grown cotton as a cash crop to Haiti. And the thing that's important is that it's organically grown so that it doesn't bring with it the pesticide and herbicide burden that normally comes with producing cotton. So it's easier on the soil. And Hugh is also, circling back to Timberland, created a supplier purchaser relationship with them so that he has commitments from companies to buy the cotton his people grow, so that he makes sure that nothing is planted by the people that doesn't have a ready-made market waiting for it, assuming that it meets all the quality standards of the buyer. To get that project going, he has put out a request for some small Rotary club for Rotary clubs to sponsor that project. And again, that need is to find the funding clubs in the more developed parts of the world and the host club in the area where the project will be implemented. So there's Rotary Club of Bentonville, Arkansas, and the Rotary Club of Exeter, New Hampshire, are looking for a club partner in Haiti so that they can then assemble this club district global grant funding to get that project going. I don't want to overlook the point that lots of Rotary clubs undertake projects locally where they just conceive of them, fund them locally, and implement them without having to go through this find a partner, and roll up the matching funding thing. So my Rotary Club in Madison, Wisconsin, is partnering with the local school district. The Emerald Ash Borer has taken out ash trees, which were a popular school campus tree. They're all dying at once, and our Rotary Club is helping fund the reforestation or restoring the dead trees on schoolyards around the city of Wisconsin.
Two excellent examples of what Rotary is doing. How can people that may not be Rotary members, how can they participate or support your efforts?
Well, join Rotary. It may be that in your life you've already interacted with Rotary and you are a member of the Rotary family. And then you are most welcome to join SREG, which is an international organization. If you've been a Rotary exchange student, been to a Rotary youth leadership camp, have gone on a Rotary vocational or study tour overseas, if you have a parent, a grandparent, an aunt or an uncle who are Rotarians, you are a member of the Rotary family. And you are welcome to join SREG, where you can activate your environmental interest within Rotary without the commitment of being a Rotary Club member. Rotary International also has, at the high school level, they sponsor Interact clubs, and at the college and community level, they sponsor Rotaract clubs, which are for young people from the ages of 18 through 30. Junior Rotary isn't quite right, but what we get really excited about is someone who embraces the Rotary ideal in high school, perhaps goes as a Rotary exchange student like I did 50 years ago, joins Rotaract when they're in college or in their community and too young to join Rotary proper, and then step into the Rotary world as soon as they're age eligible. That's what we'd like to see.
Now, recently, Rotary International had a conference, an international conference in Toronto in June of 2018. What were some of the outcomes of that?
Oh, that was Rotary's annual Internetvention. At that convention, we heard a lot about the importance of the environment. And several of the speakers highlighted the need for action on climate change and the way that Rotary International's area of focus fit with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. The incoming President Barry Rassen is from the Bahamas. And as he said at the closing plenary, where he basically became the president for the next year, if we don't act on climate change and embrace a stronger environmental ethic as part of our service ethic within Rotary, his nation and all the other low-lying nations will be gone, and with them the Rotary clubs that are there. That was a pretty strong statement, and those of us at SREG cheered loudly. It kind of gives us a green light to move forward. The convention is an exciting opportunity. It's like a mini United Nations because a lot of people wear their country's traditional ethnic garb. And you get an opportunity to meet people from around the world. SREG, being an international organization, we meet through Zoom calls and communicate through email. And it was just so amazing to be in the same space with the people we've been working so hard with during the last year. and meet them face to face. It's nothing like that.
Now, how can people find out more about SRAG and Rotary International in general?
SRAG has a website, esrag.org. Just Google Rotary International and it will take you to the homepage and they will tell you a lot about it, including where the nearest Rotary Club is to you. There's lots of parts of the webpage that are open to the general public. You're able to sign up there for our newsletter list. You don't have to be a Rotarian to get our newsletter. Our hope is that you will be so compelled by the progress and potential of hope through the SRAG process that you will actually join Rotary if you're not already a member of the Rotary family so that you can join SRAG. And if you don't know a Rotarian, you can tell them by a little gold wheel on their lapel, a little gold button. You can certainly go to Rotary webpage, and probably Rotary.org. I don't remember it off the top of my head. Google Rotary International. You spend a lot of time on their webpage. There's information about how to join. There's a Rotary Club locator where you can plug in your address, and they'll tell you where the nearest Rotary Club to you is, or several. A lot of communities have them multiple days a week, and you can pick morning, noon, and evening. The links to there, you can find out about the Rotary Clubs nearest you. They usually have a web page, and you can find out how to attend a meeting or who to contact. Many, many Rotary Clubs, if you call and say, hi, I'd like to visit a meeting as a guest, and I'm considering joining, you'll be warmly welcomed.
All right, Karen Kendrick-Hans, past chair of the Environmental Sustainability Rotarian Action Group, thank you for joining us on Earth Matters.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.